fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. Ghana's WBO Super Bantamweight champion, Isaac Royal Storm Dogbe, goes after his fourth victory of 2018 Saturday night when he fights Mexico's Emmanuel Navarrete in New York City. Dogbe started the year on home soil, beating another Mexican, Cesar Juarez, on January 6th at the Bukum Boxing Arena in Accra, Ghana. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, let's listen in again to the post-fight report by our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori.
Ghana's undefeated Isaac Dogbe knocked out Cesar Juarez of Mexico to win the interim WBO World Super Bantamweight title. At the fully packed 4,000-seater Bukum Arena in Accra, boxing fans and various supporters groups cheered and danced in appreciation. Dogbe went straight into action in round one when he threw heavy body punches. The Ghanaian increased his tempo and with a strong left sent his opponent to the canvas in round two. But Juarez managed to beat the referee's count. In round three and four, the Mexican started with some body shots, but those were not enough to intimidate the highly spirited Dogbe. The Ghanaian started the fifth round like a real warrior and punished Juarez with heavy body shots, which sent him to the floor and looked hurt. The American referee Tony Weeks, saving the situation, waved to end the fight.
You know, in all things, like I keep saying, my victories are not by my own strength. My victory came from the Lord Almighty. And I thank God for this, for another great victory. You know, I've proven a lot of people wrong. And I just want to give glory to the Almighty God for this great victory today. And I want to say a big thank you to the team around me, working so hard. My father and my assistant and his assistant coaches, you know, these guys have worked so hard. My one, Zakim, you know, of Kempinski, Group Koshika, Ellis Koshika, and John Marfo. These guys have worked so hard. Look, I am over the moon. And like I said, I just give glory to God for this victory. And I want to say a big thank you to the nation of Ghana. And I hope that I've proven everyone wrong, or I should say I've proven everyone right, that, you know what, Isaac Dogbe is a real deal.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Bukum Arena, Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Isaac Dogbe's fight against Emmanuel Navarrete Saturday night will take place at New York's Madison Square Garden, which has staged some big world championship bouts over the years. Two of Muhammad Ali's three epic heavyweight fights against Smokin' Joe Frazier were staged at Madison Square Garden. And speaking of world heavyweight championship bouts, the recent one between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury is being touted as a Fight of the Year candidate. Wilder and Fury traded punches in a thrilling split decision draw at Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. WBC champion Wilder thought he had knocked out Fury in the 12th and final round after a brutal right-left combination sent the towering Fury to the canvas.
So I really thought I had him out of there. I hit him with the right hand and followed with the left hook. Everyone knows I got heavy hands and I hit hard. I literally seen this man's eyes rolling in the back of his head. I'm like, it's over. Only God knows how he got back up.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know. I had a holy hand upon me tonight and brought me back. And I got a good fighting spirit, and, you know, I never say die. I get back up, and, you know, even in the 12th round when I got knocked down heavy, I got back up and probably won the round. Fought back and wobbled him a little bit as well. So, listen, I'm not going to take anything from Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber, the unbeaten WBC champion of the world. Great fighter.
Tyson Fury believes even though he was knocked down twice, he won the fight.
I enjoyed every second of it. I'm not going to sit here and complain all night, scream robbery, this, that and the other. I thought I won the fight. I'll leave the audience to decide what they thought. But listen, two men tried their hardest tonight, tried our guts out. We trained for 10 weeks, away from our families, put the sacrifices in. We both came in great shape, very fit, and it showed. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as we did, and I'm sure we're going to put a great show on it in the second fight.
I think more than a few boxing fans are hoping there will be a second fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder in 2019. I also think Tyson Fury is maybe boxing's best comeback story of 2018. At the post-fight news conference in Los Angeles, Tyson talked about his struggles with mental illness.
I've been living like a rock star. But that ain't a great thing, by the way, because I've had a very low time doing it. I fought back from suicide and mental health and depression and anxiety. And I wanted more than anything tonight to show the world that it can be done. Anything is possible with the right mindset. If you believe in yourself and you sacrifice and dedicate with the right help, you can come back. Because when I sit here and say, I was on the brink of suicide, I mean suicide, and I came back with the help of Ben Davison and a great team around me, we were able to achieve what we achieved tonight.
Meanwhile, Deontay Wilder also talked about fighting Anthony Joshua and unifying the heavyweight belts, as well as the possibility of a rematch against Tyson Fury.
I would love to go for the other titles. I've always spoken that there would be one champion, one face, one name. I always wanted to unify the division. I feel the one who unified the division really bring boxing back, because the heavyweight division is too small to have so many champions. I would love to fight Joshua. I've been trying to fight him. You know what I mean? Everyone knows that. That's no secret. Those guys have other plans, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, with that, I'll be satisfied either or, to be honest. Me and Fury put on a hell of a performance tonight. I'd love to go back into a rematch, or I'd love to fight Joshua. So I think I'm in a win-win situation. I know what the fans want. I'm with the fans as well, too. I'm a warrior. I'm a fighter. This is what I do. So we're going to see what we do next.
That's World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder, and he was speaking in Los Angeles, California. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with a happy development for Kenyan football. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Kenya has qualified for the 2019 African Cup of Nations for the first time in 15 years, following the disqualification of Sierra Leone from the tournament by the Confederation of African Football, CAF. Football Kenya Federation President Nick Mwendwa has said that the minimum target for Harambee Stars at the 2019 African Cup of Nations is to advance past the group stage.
If the Cup of Nations will be in the northern part of Africa, then we shall play in London against Jamaica, and also shall play another two or three matches in France against some West African sides, against some African sides, so that we can build the team, and then we go to the Cup of Nations.
In Nigeria, the National Sports Festival got underway Thursday night in Abuja, the nation's capital, after 6 years of postponement. Over 8,000 athletes are expected to participate in a total of 37 sports during the Games, which has a semblance with the Olympic Games. Solomon Dalong is Nigeria's Minister of Sports. In athletics news, marathon world record holder Eliud Kipchoge has been honored as the IAAF Male Athlete of the Year at Athletics Annual Awards Ceremony. Olympic champion Kipchoge shattered the world marathon record by 78 seconds as he completed the Berlin Marathon in 2 hours, 1 minute and 39 seconds.
Firstly, I want to actually pass my gratitude to my family, my wife and my kids. These are the people who are actually my ignition key every morning when I am waking up to train.
In women's football, the Ghana Football Association Normalization Committee has reportedly paid the Black Queens of Ghana players their due bonuses after the end of the African Women Cup of Nations. Each player of the team reportedly got about $3,200 as participation fee for the event, which was won by Nigeria's Super Falcons. Dan Kweku Yeboa, spokesman for the Normalization Committee, said the allowances were paid to demonstrate the commitment the Normalization Committee had to the team.
Before the commencement of the tournament, the agreement was that the Black Queens were going to be paid qualification bonus. And so once they couldn't qualify to the next stage, the qualification bonus issue doesn't come in. What the ministry was owing them, which has been settled, was the per diem. The other monies that were given to the team were to serve as motivation.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Young footballers around the world dream of following in their heroes' footsteps and going to Europe to play for top teams like Manchester City, Juventus, Borussia Dortmund, and Barcelona. The current leaders in England, Italy, Germany, and Spain, respectively. A group of mainly African migrants has taken a first step. With the help of a sympathetic coach, they formed their own team in a lower-tier Spanish league. The club offers far more than a weekend of soccer practice for the young men, many of whom have risked their lives to reach Spanish shores. In another Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, Henry Ridgewell reports from Jerez, Spain.
Sunday morning in the suburbs of Jerez, and two local teams are battling relegation. The third tier of the Andalusian League may not attract many spectators, but for the players of Alma de Africa, football means family. The team, whose name means Soul of Africa, is made up of migrants plus a few locals to help integrate the newcomers. In the shadow of the elaborate Jerez de la Frontera railway station, the players enjoy a post-match coffee. Among them is Modu Ndiaye, who left his home in Senegal 2 years ago.
Viaje, pues, fue muy duro, la verdad, es que...
Ndiaye says he and others took a boat from Senegal to the island of Tenerife and that the journey took 10 days. He says it was really hard and everyone thought the group wouldn't make it. He says they ran out of drinking water and suffered a lot. Thanks to God, he says, they reached their destination. Ndiaye's teammate, Bashir Aldaf, arrived in Jerez just 2 months ago. Aldaf says he was a footballer in his country, and on the day he arrived in Spain, asked around for a team to play with. Aldaf says he went to Jerez Football Club for 2 weeks, but the coach told him he couldn't play because he lacked the right papers. Aldaf says the coach told him to go and find Alma de Africa. Alma de Africa was born 3 years ago when locals spotted a group of migrants playing football in a park. The players would often argue, so the locals found a referee and in stepped Alejandro Benitez. On the pitch, Benitez saw talent. Off it, he recognised deep vulnerability. So he set up a team and persuaded the Spanish football leagues to let them play.
Esto lo iniciamos de la nada, digamos.
He says they started from nothing and invested their own money, adding that every year, however, the team has to start from scratch. Benitez appears to be a father figure for many of the players. His role as president extends well beyond the club.
Cuando terminan el partido, no podemos dejarlo que se vuelvan ahí.
Benitez says at the end of the match, we cannot let them go back to their old way of living, selling stuff at traffic signals, washing cars. He says they need more than footballs. He says they need apartments to avoid living on the streets and classes so they can learn the language more quickly. He says they need support to get them into the labour market, to show that diversity is not negative but positive. Claiming asylum and getting the right legal papers can take years. Finding steady work is all but impossible. Despite the support of the club, Aldaf is finding it tough. He says that before, he believed life would be better in Spain, but it's very difficult without a job. Alma de Africa supports a handful of the tens of thousands of migrants arriving every year in Spain. It also aims to change attitudes through a shared passion. On the pitch, the team is struggling. The bigger challenge is to find the money to keep this football family moving forward. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, Jerez, Spain.
Thanks, Henry. I really enjoyed your report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Spain's top football league is La Liga, and it looks like it will be a very competitive race for the trophy this season. Right now, only 5 points separate the top five clubs. Defending champion Barcelona, bidding for a 26th La Liga trophy, is at the top with 28 points from 14 matches. Sevilla is next with 27 points, followed by Atletico Madrid with 25 points, Alaves with 24 points, and Real Madrid with 23 points. Joining us now with a profile of South African skateboarder Jean-Marc Johannes is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. At the tender age of 28, Jean-Marc has already accomplished plenty of firsts. In 2016, he won South Africa's first gold medal in the largest freestyle sports event in Europe. This year, he became the first South African to compete in Indonesia's Pro Jam International Open, where he finished in the top three. And he is the current Guinness World Record holder for the most nollie heel flips in 1 minute. 14, to be exact. Jean-Marc's impressive resume has been years in the making. He first picked up a skateboard at age 9, and from that moment, Jean-Marc says he was hooked.
I mean, I would spend hours on ends, you know. If there was nobody left in the park, you know, I'd go back home, and I'm under the streetlights, you know, till they went off. So it was, you know, it was a full-day job for me with overtime.
Well, those overtime hours have definitely paid off. He's also the first skateboarder to be recognized by the Cape Town Sports Council, a distinction Chairman Elton David says is well-deserved.
I felt it fit as the chairman to give him the chairman's award to recognize his effort and his dedication and commitment to making a difference, not only for himself, but for all skateboarders across the world, and to be a role model in Cape Town, where he lives, to the rest of Cape Townians and South Africans to show them that there are opportunities out there and that he can make a change for himself.
Jean-Marc hopes to make a difference off the board as well. He is the founder of the charity initiative Fill the Gap, which aims to make the sport more accessible to young people and gifts them with new and secondhand gear to keep them on the board. Jean-Marc hopes his success will instill confidence in the next generation so they believe they can do anything. And that seems to have an effect on skateboarder Angus Van Wyk, who calls Jean-Marc his role model.
The skate's the coolest here. It's like when you do the tricks, you must know. You land the pop shower, everything. So, yeah, I wish I wanted to be like him one day.
And BMX rider Buddy Challen says Jean-Marc is instrumental in moving the sport forward.
Kids always talk about him. And he's always pushing the sport, you know, in his own way. He's trying to grow the sport. And he's doing a super good job at it.
John Mark's popularity received a big momentum push when he debuted as the first South African skateboarder to appear on American pro skater Tony Hawk's Ride Channel website. And now John Mark's eyes are fixed on the sporting world's biggest stage. Skateboarding is one of five sports recently added to the upcoming 2020 Tokyo Olympics. And John Mark plans to represent South Africa in those games. But first, he'll return to the Indonesia Games next year. In a recent tweet where he thanked everyone for their amazing support, he wrote, "All systems are go for 2019. Well, we will keep our eye on John Mark Johannes, a rising star in South Africa. And that's all from me today and for the week. I'll have more news for you next week. It's back to you, Sonny. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. You enjoy your weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Meanwhile, it looks like South African skateboarder John Mark Johannes could be competing against an American star at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Shaun White, a three-time Olympic champion in snowboarding, as well as a two-time X Games gold medalist in skateboarding, says he's thinking about skateboarding at Tokyo 2020.
I am, yeah. Especially being here in Japan, it's like, I don't know, it's the buzz, the feeling. I would love to be a winter, summer Olympian, and to be a medalist would just be next level. So yeah, I'm slowly making my way toward that goal, but I haven't officially decided. But yeah, it's in my sights for sure.
That's three-time Olympic champion Shaun White of the United States. Shaun spoke recently in Tokyo, where he received an Association of National Olympic Committee Award as the best male athlete at the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the Boston Celtics scored a big 28-point victory over the visiting New York Knicks. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston, Massachusetts.
Kyrie Irving had some help from Jaylen Brown and Al Horford to save the Celtics from another embarrassing loss to the Knicks in Boston's 128-100 blowout victory. Irving led the Celtics' attack with 22 points and 8 assists, and Brown scored 21. Horford chimed in with 19 points and 12 rebounds to help Boston avenge its 117-109 home loss to New York 2 weeks ago.
Disappointing loss against them recently here, and we just wanted to come out and set the tone from the beginning, and I felt like we were able to do that. We weren't able to put them away like we wanted, but they kept fighting.
Tim Hardaway Jr. had 22 points to pace the Knicks in their fourth loss in five games. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, the Portland Trail Blazers and Utah Jazz also scored big victories at home in Thursday night NBA action. The Trailblazers topped the Phoenix Suns 108-86, and the Jazz defused the Houston Rockets 118-91. The Denver Nuggets are the hottest team in the NBA right now. The Nuggets have won seven games in a row, and they lead the Western Conference with a record of 17 wins and seven losses. Denver visits the Charlotte Hornets later Friday night in North Carolina. Our Voice of America basketball fans will remember the Hornets are the team owned by NBA great Michael Jordan. The NBA's best record currently belongs to the Toronto Raptors, who lead the Eastern Conference with 21 victories and 5 defeats. And that wraps up the December 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Daniel Downtown Brown. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, an update on the U.S. political landscape. In 2019, Democrats are set to take over the majority in the lower chamber of Congress. How will they yield their newfound authority? What's the latest on the Russia probe and its impact on President Trump and the life and legacy of former President George H.W. Bush? That's Encounter on The Voice of America.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time,
with David Bandy.
This is Science in a Minute.
On August 21st, 2017, a total solar eclipse followed a northwest to southeast path across the United States. A number of researchers from various scientific disciplines used the solar eclipse to conduct experiments. Researchers at the University of Missouri put together a group of citizen scientists, along with elementary students and their teachers, to study how a solar eclipse affects bees. 16 acoustic monitoring stations were placed along the total eclipse path in Oregon, Idaho, and Missouri. The monitoring stations were placed in locations where bees would congregate, such as flower patches. As the total eclipse made its way over each monitoring station, the researchers listened for the sound of bees buzzing, or as they found out, not buzzing. During the periods of totality, the bees took a break from their daily routines. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA.